Recording up, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
You're all set, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Welcome to the August 12th, 2026 ALMR User Council meeting. The time is 13:30, and I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. Ms. Black, will you please read the roll call?
Yes, I will. I have present on the call Vice Chair Cockrell. Good grief, I don't know what happened there. John Kruda, Caitlin DeHart, Carl Edwards, John Goodman, Major Stribney, Task Sergeant Robert, and present in the room, I have Bobby Carter and Lieutenant Indres, which gives us a quorum. Additionally, I have present in the room David Reed, Scott Stormo, Timothy Whittle, myself, and Mr. Fussy. We also have present on the call Erica Bishop, John Rockwell, Daniel Kelly, Naomi Wiley, Pete Rogel, Rick Rambo, and Zach McRae. And I feel like and Mr. Newman, who I do have down, but apparently have skipped over on my paper. Did I miss anyone? I see Steve has.
Did you already announce Ms. DeHart with JBear?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I missed it. Joe Stribney, 59 SIG.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And Ms. Schumper, I see you. Thank you. And we do have a quorum.
Thank you. Do we have any special guests today? Hearing none, I would like to remind everyone at the meeting that only the user council representatives or their alternates may make a motion or second a motion. We can now move on to the approval of the July meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the July minutes? And are there any requested changes at this time? Hearing none, can I get a motion and a second to approve the July meeting minutes?
Make a motion to accept the July meeting minutes.
Amber Schumpert, I second.
Thank you. Are there any objections or further discussion regarding the July minutes? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Moving on to the issues and risks log. Paul, would you please provide an update?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The one we do have on there, unfortunately, it is on here. It is the Aquaid Tower. Right now, we're still waiting on updates. Through the chair, Mr. Stormwood, do you have any updates?
No, it's awaiting determination from the insurance process. So there's no updates at this time on the future of Otlake.
All right. Through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Stormo. That's all I have, Madam Chair, on issues and risk log.
Thank you. Moving on to the action items. Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Still have this one on here. I'm working with power companies. We only have the two that have reached out to me. Their status right now is before they even join, they're going to have to buy all brand new radios. So they're working with their board on that one. But nothing to report or update for the board, ma'am.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions or concerns regarding either issue and risk log or action items? Moving on to the OMO updates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start out with training. So Dan Nelson, he's our training coordinator. And he did put out an RF safety video that's been put out on the website and on the YouTube channel. Also, we've been pulling the data from the YouTube channel. It's kind of interesting. So we had 84 views of our videos in July, and the most popular video was the APX programming concept, followed by the APX Smart Connect video. So there's kind of interesting what is being put on there, but with the YouTube channel, we're getting more and more information out to everybody, and it's kind of nice that we can actually go on there. Dan pulls the monthly statistics as to what people are watching. So appreciate everybody with that one. With outreach, all last week, I was down in San Antonio with Mr. Buckley Clark for Mr. Stormo's team. It was a busy week. We hit the ground running. We attended the Genesis User Forum, and then we switched over to the Association of Public Safety Communication Officials, the APCO meeting. And then from there, we transitioned over to the Motorola Trunk Users Group, or MTUG. So what I've been doing today is downloading the slides as they've been being made available. And I'll have those out for anybody that needs them or wants them. But really good training sessions, sitting down and talking to some individuals from other states. Unfortunately, money seems to be the crux for everybody, from large cities to small towns, looking for trying to get upgrades for towers and equipment. So Alaska is not unique with that situation. While I was down there, I did meet with several individuals from Alaska. Also, I sat down and had a good meeting with Jacob Butcher. He's formerly from Alaska. He's now the Emergency Communications Assistant Director for Raleigh, North Carolina. He showed me some of the things that he uses or did use for the Hurricane Helene observation and response. So I'm working with him, so hopefully I'll have him give a presentation on what their dispatch center did during that horrendous storm, either September or October meeting. But I'll make sure all board members and dispatch centers in the state know when Jacob is going to be giving his presentation on that. I also met with several vendors about upcoming radio releases, and I'll be testing them once they're sent to us. So there's a portable that's going to be coming out from one manufacturer, and a mobile from another. So it was really good to go down there, take a look at the equipment that's out there and the update. So really good meeting with those. Also, I have sent out some console reboot emails to a few agencies that are overdue. Thank you to Mr. Reed for doing another scan of the system on that. Also, this Sunday, I'll be traveling up to Fairbanks. I'll be in Fairbanks all next week. I'm going to be doing the Zone 2 inspection. I also have several meetings set up with some dispatch centers and agencies up there in Fairbanks. So I'll give a report on that next month of what transpires from there. But it's going to be a busy week up there, meeting with agencies and doing inspections. Ms. Black has been sending out emails to agencies that still need to sign their membership agreements. As of this morning, we had 143 agencies there. So really appreciate everybody doing their work on that. And any questions before I go to the system upgrade? Hearing none, Madam Chair, I'll move on. Today we did generator testing at the Birchell Master Site. Mr. Andy Strait from Nick's team was there to sort of monitor everything. No issues that we saw on our side with the system. I talked to the AMR help desk. They did not get any complaints. So it was a smooth transition. It was a good operation today. And we really liked the idea that they've been testing those generators more, especially with the battery backup. So that went really well today. Also, Nick's team has done 20 PMI for the month of July. So his team, in fact, are still out in the field. But pretty busy, really good weather window. Even with all the rain we had in July, they were able to get 20 PMIs done. Came to light Today at the emails, we're setting up a meeting with Ketchikan for the city of for a possible, and I use the term possible, LMR work down in Ketchikan. So we've got another meeting set up in September. Hopefully I'll have more to brief the board when that happens. July document reviews, we did the KMF policy and procedure, the OMO customer support plan, their interoperability policy and procedure, and the high-level communication strategy plan. Any questions before I go to the system metrics from the board or other members online? Hearing none, I'll proceed over to the July metrics. So starting with the individual calls, we had 2,107,072. The push-to-talks were down a little bit from last month, but we are at 3,198,510, still well above the last couple of years. Slides are out of order, and I apologize for that. The monthly busies were 847, and the sites below 3.9 were 6. And Pegger Road had a login failure with corrections router swap map swapping out over at Willow Mountain. We located relocated some equipment over at the Henley Range, and then we had PMI, the Canyon Creek, Esterdome, Glen Allen, and Pegger Road. Subscriber counts, we had 32 by the zone here, you can take a look here, and then by the agencies with 32,003, up a little bit from June. The state of Alaska had 9,492, Department of War had 8,539, municipality in AWARN had 12,050, and federal non-DOW had 1,889. Are there any questions on the metrics, or would anybody like me to go over one of the slides again?
Do you know who the big additions were for the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Mr. Stormwater, I do not. I can get back to you with that one, but I do not know that one. Okay. Are there any other questions on the metrics? Okay. So moving on to other. So August is Emergency Management Awareness Month, and with that, we're also watching the Juneau Lake outbreach today. SEOC has set up a YouTube page that you can watch all the cameras on there, so we've been watching that. We're going to take a look at it, see if there's been an uptick in radio traffic, but I want to stress to everybody that none of the ALMR towers are in the flood zone in that area. This morning at 8:21, Anchorage observed a partial eclipse with the sun being covered almost 40%. So Nick and I briefed yesterday, took a look at possibilities, but there was no ALMR issues observed during the eclipse. Through the chair, Mr. Fountainstock, do you need to add anything to that, sir?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you. I want to pass on the next Alaska chapter of AFCO NINA is going to be August 27th at 2 p.m. If you want to sit in on that one or listen, please contact Stacy Day at the Kenai Police Department for more details on the AFCO NINA meeting, the Alaska chapter. Also, there was a raven that caused a huge and major power outage over in Girdwood. So I've talked to Nick and his team and Mr. Stormo. The ALMR tower switched over to generator and ran the whole time without any issues for the ALMR side of it. But Girdwood was out without power for almost a full day, but our towers, we didn't have any issues with the generators. So that's all I have, Madam Chair, for my report, pending any questions.
Thank you, Paul. Hearing no questions, the next item is the SMO update. Nick, would you like to provide updates at this time?
Yes. So like Paul mentioned, you know, we've been hitting our PMIs pretty hard.
Now, I thank you all for your patience as we go through these. You know, this is just an annual thing. You know, the whole aspect of you know, what it is, it's a preventative maintenance. It's so that we can get the values, we can measure them, we can make adjustments, you know, or fix things on the spot, as opposed to, you know, critical failures down the road that'll cause, you know, much longer or interrupting issues. One thing I wanted to also mention, since the last meeting we had, is one of my guys, Christopher Frey, he's part of the help desk aspect. He actually left with his wife to go to Germany in his place. And some of you may have talked to him and or met him already, but Paulo Felizardo is our new guy. So he's been catching on really good, been helping out a lot. And again, some of you have already probably talked to him, but until he gets fully to the swing, you know, just give him a little bit of patience. He's been working really good and hard at it. Another thing I wanted to touch base on, based from an email Scott actually sent, is battery care and maintenance. And this actually came up with another radio where the question was brought to me if the battery was still good. So the battery's condition, when it was presented to me, was slightly swollen. Now, these are lithium-ion batteries. I'm not going to get fully into the, you know, nitty-gritty of the chemical makeup or anything like that, but when these things start to swell, it is definitely a very toxic chemical, harmful to most living things. The swelling itself is not necessarily what is the harmful part. It's the actual internal gas, but as it swells, at some point it will rupture. That rupture can release the gas. That rupture can also release internal chemicals, which could turn into a runaway effect, causing fire, harm, etc. So as far as to help prevent that from happening, not leaving your batteries or the radios with the batteries on them on the charger 24/7 is a good idea. But the lithium ion batteries typically like to sit between 30 and 80% of the longest life lasting aspect of them. Once they get below 30% or once they get above 100%, they start to degrade much quicker, which can lead into that swelling aspect. Just pay attention to the batteries. If it's looking swollen or if it's hard to put onto the batteries, maybe think about getting it swapped out. I know it costs money, but it's much cheaper than going to the hospital. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Nick. Any questions from anyone? The next item is the state. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, this is Scott, that I suspect that battery maintenance notification thing came out for Motorola because there was a fire not too long ago from a radio that basically the battery caught fire and started a fire somewhere. So I think that's probably what generated this. It's, you know, not entirely different than everybody's cell phone batteries and everything else. There's always a risk, but it's one of those things that they don't want to not say something about it. But it's, you know, are we all going to throw all our batteries out at 4 years or recycle them, don't throw them out? Are we all going to be able to do that? Or are we all going to be able to do exactly what they said for how you should store and maintain your battery? Is not likely, but it's worth reading because even those of us who should be familiar with that stuff don't necessarily remember everything that they're saying when they send these memos out. So it's good to look at and see how you should be not storing it on the charger all the time, not keeping it off the charger for more than 30 days. You know, there's things like that you don't normally think about, even if you've read it once. So it's worth a review, and I think Paul is going to get it posted out on the ALMR webpage. Okay. It's from Motorola, but I would venture to guess it would apply to pretty much every radio that has the same type of batteries in them. So.
Madam Chair, this is Paul, and that notice has been put on the ALMR website. If you look at the bottom right for notices on the approved equipment, that's been posted on there. Thank you, Ms. Black, for doing that.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the state and DOW updates. Mr. Stormo?
I've been out on leave for a couple of weeks, but we need to re-engage with Motorola to kind of finalize up the follow-on contract that will start next July. Hopefully have that done in the next month or two so everybody can have several months to find the funds necessary to fund the follow-on contract. Other than that, it feels like summer is rapidly approaching the end, so we are out running around trying to fix and maintain as much as we can. We ran out of money essentially in December last year. I suspect we're going to run out of money sooner than that this year. And that's mostly running out of money to fix stuff that we find is broken. We still have money to do regular routine maintenance, refuel generators, things like that. So there are a few things that are broken that if don't get fixed we've lost more redundancies. We've got a few towers that need to be replaced on top of the one that's laying on the ground. We've got a dish that blew off or didn't blow off. We got tore up on the tower in the last windstorm at Cooper Mountain. So that path is offline until that dish can get replaced. We've got going to hire the contractors to go back out and put up a spare dish of ours. We've got contractors hired to go change a bunch of waveguide on a site going up the North Richardson Highway because that microwave path has just degraded more and more over the years. And that was the recommendation from their engineering side to swap out the waveguide first due to some dents or dings or damage they felt was on that. The path up the Parks Highway is degraded because the Denali Tower has moved over the years and the trees have grown to the point where it has not got a good clean shape. 20 feet to the tower, and that caused the leaning to accelerate significantly. So the 20-foot extension was removed from the tower. The dishes were put back down, so they're in the trees, and we are waiting potential funding to try to see if we can build a new tower with an adequate foundation on it to remedy that. So we got problems in both directions on the rings. Hopefully going to get one side of that fixed up before winter. But it would be bad if we lost both sides of the ring. Other than that, I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Scott. Are there any questions? Ms. Black, can you please remind me if Mr. Woodall's present?
Mr. Yes. Woodall is here, yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Woodall, do you have any updates for DOW?
Yeah, I have a few things to primarily for the DOW audience. Tower registration is going to be a big issue that we need to get after collectively. The state of Alaska has its frequencies registered against the towers that are on the DOD installations, but those towers are not properly registered and need to be so. So we'll be putting out some instructions on how to go about getting the tower registered, what the proper information that needs to go on with regard to tower registration. So be looking for that. You probably have received from Motorola a proposal for Ethernet conversion. That is part of the existing system upgrade that we're going through. It's just the upgrade's not completed yet. The upgrade included a Ethernet conversion. So as you're seeing those and you're wondering about how to fund that, on the Air Force side, you should reach back to the 38th EIS who funded your upgrade to see if they can help you with funding. On the Army side, I'm not exactly sure how you're to address that. So another conversation for another day. And then with regard to the contract, the new contract, it is time for us to get back together with the state of Alaska, hopefully next week, and validate and agree on a scope of work so that they can move forward. So be prepared to come for that discussion and to reach a conclusion. And I don't think I have anything else. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you for your report. Just last call for any questions or discussion about any of the reports thus far. Moving on to user council representative updates. Starting with the state of Alaska, are there any updates from DPS, Lieutenant Endres or Ms. Erica?
Yeah, this is Lieutenant Endres. We're working on updating our code plug, getting it more user-friendly and just more in line with the way people are operating now. We have some things that are just in their legacy. They've just been there and nobody really knows why. So updating that, we did deliver to ALMR a copy of the CC Aware location sharing agreement signed by the commissioner, so for MATCOM. So they've got that agreement in place. And then I'll just share one anecdotal incident with Smart Connect. The colonel had encouraged everybody that could to go and work some traffic overtime, and I did so this past weekend. And it was in a known terrain dead area for ALMR near Massey Regional Hospital. And as I did a vehicle stop there, was unable to get out on the vehicle radio despite repeated attempts, and really wasn't aware that that's what was causing it. But then I noticed I was receiving the traffic on my portable. And when I took a look at it, it was connecting to Smart Connect over Wi-Fi through the Sierra Wireless. And I was able to communicate with dispatch, even seated in my car on the portable, just because of that Wi-Fi connection. It was just like one of those moments where you're in the field and you go, aha, it works. So just wanted to share that. That was a good thing. That's all I have.
And this is Erica. Just a very brief update, at least for DPS in the interior. On July 20th, we did upgrade the DPS talk groups to TDMA, and that has been successful now.
Thank you both. Moving on to DOT, are there any updates?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Amber Schumper from Alaska DOT. I just want to give you guys an update that we are working on getting a updated inventory of all of our radios. That way we can address the diagnostic report, find the ones that need recalibration and get that completed, and then delete the ones that are no longer in service from the list. End of report.
Thank you. Next is all others. Do we have an update from all others? Mr. Nelson or Mr. Edwards?
Good afternoon. This is Carl Edwards with Public Health, and I have nothing to add for today. Thank you.
Thank you. And hello, this is Scott Nelson. I also have nothing to add.
Good afternoon. Bob Carter with TSA Alaska here. Just a little minor update that we have added a couple of more ALMR radios to our user group. TSA Alaska has issued radios to folks down in Petersburg and in Cordova. So you may be seeing some additional traffic in those areas related to that. We're working to secure more radios to kind of spread out around to areas that can benefit from it as a backup communication. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the DOW, is there anything from U.S. Army installations?
So Major Joe Stribney, got those three things from you, Tim, on the tower registration, Ethernet conversion, and budget. for tower registration, we're digging into the real property things that'll help us with the tower registration, then also determining who does maintenance on our sites. Ethernet conversion, we've got an effort going on at Birch Hill to connect that, to convert from the T1s to Ethernet to the consoles. And then looking forward to the invite on budget, so we can, I can get UserPak. UserPak's been funding this, so I can keep them up to date on what we'll need and when, especially for the next year's O&M bill, and then also for the Astros upgrade. That's it from the Army.
Thank you. How about J-Bear?
Hi, this is Caitlin. I don't have much to report on that hasn't already been said. We are currently completing our annual report, the inventory. We plan on having that back to you guys within the next couple days here. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. And any updates from Eielson?
Hi, this is Tech Sergeant Roberts from Eielson. Right now, we're just working on our the Ethernet conversion. Our team here is looking at the funding sources for that. In addition to that, we're also trying to find the funding for a DC power bank upgrade for the Quarry Hill Tower. Those batteries are no longer functional and need to be replaced. So we're working that issue. Outside of those two things, I don't have any updates.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to federal non-DOW representatives, is there anything from DOJ?
Nothing new from DOJ.
Thank you, sir. How about DOI? And all others, Officer Nelson, Mr. Carter. Hearing nothing, next are the municipal representatives for Municipality Central. That's myself and Mr. Goodman. Mr. Goodman, do you have anything for the group today?
Nothing for the group.
Thank you. And the only thing I'd like to add is we are very close, probably by the end of this week. I mentioned a few months ago about a new position we were able to, new FTE out of the Soldotna Public Safety Communications Center. Public Safety Communications Technology Manager is the title of the position, so a radio position for not just our 911 center, but fire service areas and Office of Emergency Management. So we're very excited to get that on the street. So I thought I'd share it here in case any of you know anyone who might be interested in that position. We're excited to get it filled. And that is all I had to report. Municipalities North, I don't believe there are any representatives online today. Moving to Municipalities Southeast.
This is Erin Calwara in Juneau, and I do not have any updates.
Thank you. Moving on to new business. I believe Mr. Reed.
Yes, ma'am. This is David Reed. I'm the security manager for the system. As of September 21st, 2026, FIPS, or the Federal Information Processing Standard 140-2, will no longer be approved for federal and Department of War networks. Any radio with federal or Department of War channels is going to require FIPS 140-3 certification to maintain those encryption keys. And new purchases following September 21st, 2026 will require that certification to comply with the mandate dated March 22nd, 2019 from the government. I am currently going through the approved radio list so that we can update that list with what radios are compliant with the 140-3 standard and you won't be making any decisions in the dark here.
Through the chair, Mr. Reed, just for everybody on the board, that is just for federal and DOW radio. So if someone for, like, say, Tri-Valley or, Western Emergency Services, a small volunteer fire department, would not need that, or would they need that, Mr. Reed?
This is specifically for radios that have federal or Department of War channel on them and those encryption keys.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Reed.
Through the chair, Mr. Reed, what do you know the timeline that you would have identified the radios that need to be updated?
I will have the ALMR approved radio list. I'll have that data to Paul by the end of this week for him to distribute to our dealers.
Thank you. And I guess one follow-up question. The current APXs, do they comply or do they not comply?
The current APX series of radios comply with FIPS 140-3. Motorola achieved that certification based on the MACE hardware within the radio.
Thank you. That takes a little worry out of a lot of people.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Just last call for any questions or discussion regarding your report. Okay, Paul, you had a new item to add to new business today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I do. So for everyone on the board, this usually comes out in July, but I apologize that it came out in August, just due to the fact we're waiting for some numbers from some entities. So what I'm going to do today is just give an overbrief of the proposed FY28 budget. Here to answer any questions, and then it will be sent out. I'm not sharing.
You're sharing the agenda, not the.
Well, that's not going to help anybody. Thank you for letting me know. Okay.
Still the agenda.
Yep. Try and get out of here. One second, everybody. Sharing there. Okay. Can everybody see the budget now?
Yes, Paul.
All right. Thank you. So, like I said, I'm just going to go an overview of the budget. It will be sent out to all board members to look at and peruse. And if you have any questions, be happy to do that. How it works, once everyone has had to look at it, we will send out another email for the board members to vote on it. Once it's been voted on, if it does get approved, then it goes to the executive council. I will brief the executive council on the proposed budget. And if it is approved by the executive council, then it'll be sent forward. Just want to stress this is FY28. And if you look at the user council charter, if the board votes on this, it does not mandate someone to spend the money on it. However, this is what's needed to keep the entity running, Alaska Land Mobile Radio. We heard from Mr. Stormo the issues we're having, but this briefing that I'm going to give is what is needed to keep the system running for all 143 agencies. So starting out with the operations management budget, so this has been the same for over 10 years now. There's still 3 years left on the contract, but the $347,220, that is for the operations manager, the document specialist, and the training specialist, and for the training. But like I said, this amount has not changed in over 10 years. Does anybody have any questions on this. If not, I will go to the next page. But keep in mind, it will be going out, and everybody can read it in depth also. Moving on to the next one. This is the Infrastructure Operations Management Service. This has two things. This has a Systems Management Office, which is the field technicians, the systems manager, the help desk. This one is the same as last year, the $3,250,599.60. That also includes PMI, break fix responses. And this is what was alluded to earlier in the user council meeting, that this is a one-year extension only. This contract had expired. Entities that have the power to be got a one-year extension on that. So this has been the same amount as it has been the last 10 years. I guarantee you that this monetary amount will change next year through the chair, Mr. Stormo.
Can you scroll down to the last page real quick?
Last page of the budget or this?
The last, the addendum.
The addendum A? Yes, Mr. Which one do you want to look
at? So we're, this budget's talking about state fiscal year 2028.
That is correct.
So that number that you just talked about is fiscal year 2027.
Yes.
So that number up top, just it needs to reflect the numbers out of this table for state fiscal year 2028. So it's not the same. Right now we're in the one-year extension. Next year we won't be in an extension. We'll be in a new contract, which will have the higher pricing that is shown down in the last one. Just to make sure that's clear.
Through the chair, Mr. Stromo, that's correct. I'm going by the number there. That's why I said that this number is to change. I don't know what this number is going to be.
Yeah.
That's why I said I guarantee you it will be higher, but I don't know what it is. So instead of just leaving X's.
Well, you can use the numbers on the table in the back. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
You can do that, or you can, if you don't want to do that, well, you can asterisk it and note that value does not reflect an awarded contract value.
All right.
Probably best use what Scott said, though, just referring to the.
Okay. I will do that.
You could just asterisk that and say, see the table. Do that as well.
I'm just putting it in here for now. I will clean it up when I send it out. So through the chair, Mr. Storm, Mr. Woodall, is that what you're like thinking of?
Yeah, except we'll change the number to what the table says.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. That's why we're doing this now.
Yep.
So. Any other questions from the board or members? I'm moving on to the next one. As you can see here, projected cost, because we really don't know. I will change this up here. Keep in mind, this is FY28. It's projected. This goes through the capital cost, system upgrade insurance, the SUA, and grand total of stakeholders. I do have thank you to Mr. Newman and Mr. Beach for the numbers from the Municipality of Anchorage for A1 for Zone 4. Any questions on this page from anyone? Hearing none, I'm going down to the next page. The SUA, the state of Alaska is one of the few places that does not have a SUA or system upgrade assistance. When I was down at APCO and I'm talking to many different states and agencies, they all have a SUA. Through the chair, Mr. Stormo, is there anything you want to comment on this?
No, we've said it before. We not having a SUA in place makes this extremely difficult, especially with three different bill payers on the system. We've got the municipality of Anchorage is on a calendar fiscal year. We've got the state of Alaska is on its July to June fiscal year, and the federal government's on a October to September fiscal year. It makes it very difficult to award contracts and align funding for all three of those bill payers at the same time. If we had a SUA, we basically would have awarded a contract and agreed to pay our annual payments on a, could be probably paid on your own fiscal year time if that's what it needed to be. Upgrades just happen every 2 years. It's easy for the vendors to, you know how much equipment they need to purchase. That takes sometimes a year longer to get. They know how to schedule people to come do the work, and we're operating in much less of a crisis mode, you know, trying to keep the system current and running if we would be on a funded SUA program. We're one of the few that are not.
It's proven to be less costly.
And even if that's not the case, it is certainly a lot less of a headache. I mean, we're hitting problems like getting the Ethernet upgrades done because, you know, we're making jumps every 6-8 years instead of every 2 years, where these things just would be better known and better planned and executed. So we're doing it the hard way. I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. So addendum A, long-term funding requirements. If you look at the SUA, right now we're at 2021.1 for our system upgrade. We're due for system upgrade. Through the chair, Mr. Finanstack, anything you want to add to that one for the 2021.1? Or where is the latest upgrade software at? What number?
I want to say the last released revision officially was the 20.5.2, if I remember correctly. I think the 2026 is still in works. I might be misremembering, but I want to say the yearly releases are kind of mid to late year when they come out.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Fennis, back to the chair. Also, everyone, the GTRs, the D-Series repeaters, got a lot of good information on the D-Series for the equipment. I've got some power slides that MTUG sent out. I'll get out to all the board members so you can see what I'm referring to when it goes GTRs and D-Series. There's new antennas that only work with D-Series for the equipment. There's a lot of different things that are coming out, a lot of upgrades for D-Series. So years ago, we had Quantars upgraded to GTRs, and now D-Series are the new ones. So we're going to be looking at having to upgrade a lot of equipment here.
And I'll take advantage of the opportunity to make a point on that, too. The state took a long time to get funding for GTRs. We bought them very late in their life cycle. So had we bought them 10 or 15 years ago, we would have got, you know, 15-plus years out of them. We bought them late in the life cycle, and now we see a picture of we need to start getting money to start replacing them in a few years. So they may be new to us, but it's not a new technology. It's been out since at least whenever A1 started, because they started with GTRs.
Any questions from the board or other members online about this page?
And just 2021.1 is an extended support right now, which means technically it's limited support. And in January of 28, it is out of support, which at that point really just becomes best effort from if the vendor can do anything for the equipment or for cyber patching, or there's no guarantees that they will be able to patch or that they'll be able to get replacements for it. Hence the importance of having it in at least the state's fiscal year 28 budget, which starts in July and leaves us 6 months to get the system upgraded, which is not technically possible. Nothing will happen that fast. So again, we're doing it the hard way.
There's a federal fiscal year on here with the SUA, also a 2021 upgrade, the access consoles, side controllers, and once again, GTRs, the D-Series, maintenance option. Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, do you have anything to add to this, sir?
No.
Thank you. Municipality of Anchorage fiscal year, through the chair, Mr. Newman, do you have anything, sir?
I don't.
Thank you. Does anybody online or board members have any questions? Once again, I'll just reiterate, I'm going to clean this up a little bit. I apologize for the one mistake I've made on here, and I'll get this off to all the board members to look at, ask any further questions, and to vote on it.
Thank you, Paul.
Hearing no, that completes my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything to offer for new business today? Okay, the next scheduled meetings are September 2nd and October 7th. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer at this time before we adjourn? Okay, I will accept a motion and then a second from any of the council members to adjourn the August meeting.
This is Scott Nelson, motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Scott.
Ben Andrews, I second.
Thank you. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.